the notes that were handed out, please keep those in your Bible. Whenever I get to it, we're not going to reissue them. What we got, we got. So please keep that handy for when we get to it. Also, we'll have our monthly deacons meeting after we finish with the Lord's table. All right, let's see if we can get back into the study of the Laodicean mess. The Laodicean church, all right. Again, as always, check yourself. As always do, good idea. Check yourself, see where you're at spiritually, what's going on up in your head. You probably didn't have much time to do any overt sins, but maybe a sin of the tongue, a couple of mental attitude sins, knock you right out of fellowship. Look, we're all in the same boat, but God has given us the wherewithal to deal with the negatives that are a part of living in the devil's world. And this is he has a lot of free rein. He runs amok, and he's busy, and he's active 24-7 in his organization. Consider it to be a super criminal organization that is super sophisticated and clever and is able to dupe people if they don't have the right information in their soul. In other words, if you're not clothed with the full armor of God, he is able to roll over people, the smartest of people. He can fool them. That's why they're easy to fool, because they think they're so damn smart. And their pride is their undoing. That's a killer. So anyway, sure, you come to Bible class. We're not this world. It's got its positives. It's got all of its negatives, and we have to get smart enough. We need to if you're taking this seriously. Now, the Laodicean church, the first few verses here is the indictment. They think they're one thing, but in reality, they are quite the opposite. Again, keep in mind, he's not talking to unbelievers here. The Bible isn't written to unbelievers. It addresses unbelievers, but it isn't written to unbelievers. The Bible is written for the benefit of believers, and it is here, clearly, all these churches have one or more thing in common. They all have a pastor teacher. They are all a lampstand. A lampstand is sacred. The lampstand in the Old Testament was authorized by God to be put in the holy place to provide light, which otherwise would not have existed in that particular compartment. It would have been dark. No one could operate in there. Otherwise, because of the coverings, the walls and everything, there was no outside light that got into the holy place. I'm not talking about the most holy place. That was a whole different light. That's the Shekinah glory. That's supernatural light. There wasn't a dark shadow in that. There wasn't a shadow in that place. Because that light was the light of God in a sort of a tent in the wilderness. And then later in the temple. And only the high priest got to bathe in that light, because he went in there once a year. Day of Atonement. That was his big day. But in the other place, it was an artificial light, a beautiful golden lampstand. The dimensions are given. The number of lamps on it are given. And in each of the lamps, there was oil and there was a wick. And every day, the priest, one of his duties, was to go in and clean the debris from the wicks or replace the wicks. And in other words, do maintenance. But all of it taught some spiritual lesson. It wasn't just, oh, this is pretty. Don't mean anything. Even the motif, it has a particular motif. It was an exceptional piece of art executed by Jewish craftsmen who had been slaves in Egypt, who could work in metal and knew how to do these kinds of things, set stones, do all this wonderful stuff. A lot of times we look at antiquity and we think that they were backward. Well, yeah, there were backward countries. There still are. You know, technologically and things they could do. There's even been things that have been lost that man knew how to do. People were good at figuring out stuff. And the Jews were no exceptions, so they had this lampstand. emphasizing that you, Israel, are to be the light to the world. The world out there and all the nations are in darkness. You are to be that one nation that has the light, the answers for any curious Gentiles. And curious Gentiles did come to Israel. They pilgrimaged there. They came there to go to the temple. The psalm deals with that. So the lampstand of each church, it means it's an identified local church set up by God. A lot of churches are just organizations. They're not set up by God. They didn't have their denominations spread all over the earth. You could start a church if you wanted to go out and declare yourself a preacher and get you a place in a shopping mall and start up and, oh, he built this big church from a shopping mall and now look at it. Yeah, it's a three-ring circus. This is not a lampstand. It never pretended to be there to teach the whole counsel of God. It was there to entertain people and raise money and build a bigger church. But this Laodicean church had been founded by apostles or someone closely connected to an apostle, and they had established a singular pastor teacher. Not multiple pastors. That's a joke. Imagine that one. You don't have enough money to get me to do that. It doesn't exist. That personality type thing going on and all, oh my. There's a lot of things I wouldn't do to get a church. And I'll tell you, one of them is taking disgruntled members from another church. I wouldn't go near that for love, money, or whatever doctrine they're supposed to be teaching. It's wrong. Wrong. I didn't just today say it was wrong. I've said it all my ministry. They did this down where I went to church in Houston. Didn't like the pastor, didn't like this. Whatever was going on, I don't know. And they went off and formed their own thing. The people do this all the time. Churches split. They go in and do their thing. This is not of God. It isn't. My deal was, you're going to have to drop it in my lap. I'm not looking up and I'm not putting out, you know, feelers. Back then, we didn't text and do all this stuff that people gets all people in trouble today. All this STA stuff. Now you can do it with technology. I'm not into it. Well, you're on Facebook. Well, I didn't put myself there. I didn't do it. I didn't support it. Did you read that? No. You're spending too much time looking at that stuff. And who cares what you did yesterday and had for lunch? We don't care if we have any sense. We got more entertaining life than that. This is, and then people do their dirty laundry out there too. Mind-boggling. Show pictures of their latest tattoo. The only reason I know this is people told it. And people had actually gone to Maranatha Church. So there's an area you might consider, if you're up to your ears in it, backing off. Oh, you might do it for business. You're this, that. But you need to realize so much of this is not of God. And they are collecting all your information. Oh, they want to do it for business. This is where you shop. So we're gonna figure out what you like to buy so we can bombard you with that. But there's other stuff too. Profiling. This is what's happening in China. Big time. And Americans are over there helping them. They're going to have different categories and classify people, not as human beings with a name, but human beings who have a certain profile, and they're going to classify them according to the profile. And they're going to have negative and positive points. They have neighborhoods where they put plaques on the door and they scan them twice a day to see who's in the house and stuff. You don't believe that? This is, we're moving with this technology. That's why now it's getting clearer and clearer to me what the mark of the beast is. And why people who take the mark after the rapture. And the mark isn't some goofy tattoo across your forehead. It's invisible, but it's going to hijack their brains. and you're going to be run by an AI. And your volition is defunct. That's my guess. That's where it's headed. And so all these people that will be under this will be zombies that will respond through whatever is put in their brain through this system and act in accordance with it. That's why after the rapture, the entire human race, because this thing's going to come on board in that way, in its ultimate way, and there's going to be an AI that will be developed by the most advanced technologies in this department and brought together in the image of the Antichrist. This thing will look like a person, but it's soulless. It will be able to transmit, and it will sit in the temple as an idol. And it will talk and it will speak and be able to articulate and feel and know all this information. These new AIs are coming on. It's supposed to be like transhuman. It's like, oh boy, now we've got something that is smarter than humans. They're going to replace people in the workforce too. But in China, it's really advanced. If you want to do some research on it, it's very interesting to read up on it. It's not some futurology stuff. It's now. It's going on. And by 2020, every citizen will be into this system, and it won't be voluntary anymore. It'll be mandatory. And they'll know if this citizen over here is a good citizen, but if you get too many demerits, whatever, you're not. And so you're going to be restricted in movement, job opportunities, and what have you. See, that's what the devil's world wants. They want to control everybody and everything like a robot from the grave to the end. And what way can we do it now? We can't get everybody demon-possessed. But we can get this technology out there to spy on you, to know everything. A God-type thing. And they're talking about, even some people, about setting up a kind of a church where these things can be worshipped. The new idol. Not the dead idols of old that don't move and just sit there and look pretty, maybe. The new ones will speak and talk. And that's that thing you have in the book of Revelation. He'll be a spitting image of Alexander the Great. When they shut down the legitimate worship in the temple that's yet to be built, apparently, hopefully, we've got a cow in waiting. A little calf. Did you ever pray for a cow? Get it on. Let's get this going. Because see, initiate any of the, all this stuff has to be a ritual with the ashes of this heifer or heifers. They can't just jump into their priestly deals and start doing their stuff. They have to have a ceremony that sets it all up. You read it, Numbers 19, when they did it first time back in the desert. All right, the Laodicean church is the church Jesus says, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth, spew you. I will do this to you. But is there any hope for this church? Is there any hope at all for that church? Yes. And that begins with verse 18. I advise you. This is like a financial advisor. That's exact language used here. I advise you to purchase from me gold refined by fire. The purest, highest grade gold that possibly exists. I advise you, because you are poor and wretched, and this can reverse all that. Laodicea was also a town, interestingly enough, that had some kind of an eye treatment for people to help them regain or improve their eyesight. And that was one of the things that the people could access there. I just remembered that from the background here. Okay, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you might become rich. I don't like seeing you poor. We're going to get you people spiritually rich. He's not asking them to give up their money. You can't buy salvation. You can't buy spirituality. You can't bribe God. You can't buy anything from God. You can do it with people all over the place. But you can't with God. He doesn't need it. He created it. Silly. So basically, what we have here is we can reverse this situation that is so dire, that is featured in verse 17, that's going to cause me to spit you out of my mouth if you don't take my spiritual advice. Like a financial advisor. I think this is a good time to buy gold, is what he's saying. You need to buy, we've heard that all in the financial thing. Get gold. Hold on to it. It's gonna come up and it's gonna go big and it's gonna get to, you know, it went from $32 an ounce, as I remember it as a young person, and now it's gonna go up, 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 up. If you've got an ounce of gold, qualified gold. I'm not asking you to get gold. I'm not telling you, do what you're gonna do. So you need to buy gold refined by fire. Well, he's obviously not talking about the physical metal. Any number of the Laodiceans probably had a place where they had some gold coins. Gold refined by fire is Bible doctrine that's pure. I want you to buy it. I want you to purchase it. How do you purchase doctrine? Well, they knew immediately what that meant. You have to make a sacrifice. You've got to come to class. You've got to go. The pastor's got to start doing his job again, like he's supposed to, and quit all this nonsense about we're okay because we're wealthy and doing well, and let's sing another hymn, and let's go on through all this. Because the very nature of lukewarmness is, I'm not cold. I do take an interest in some truth, but I will not teach certain other truths. Well, if I teach that, it's the end. End of what? What if Jesus did that or any of these other people? I'm going to drop this on them. There's a time and place to drop things on people. Let God take care of the consequences. Just be in His will and drop it when it's time. So that you may become rich. And white garments, so that you may clothe yourself. We're going to dress whites. And that's referring to the clothing of the soul. The clothing they've been wearing up to this point is out of style, ill-fitting, and soiled. Verse 17. I'm rich. No, you're not. I've seen people with money, they don't know how to dress. Are you kidding me? I've seen young people. I've seen they think the style is to wear a tight sport coat. So tight, it's ludicrous. One, you're not thin, buddy. And you got pants that are this short above your shoes with no socks. And you're a marketer for $500 slacks. I saw that in a clothing shop. Are you kidding me? I said to the salesman I was walking out, I said, I can't believe this. I'm going to be an advertisement for my business. I'm going to look like that guy. You had to see it. He was a young guy. Did you ever look in the mirror? So the clothing was just terrible. I know he had the money. It wasn't because he's broke. Had no taste. Had no stop. I guess he's found some stupid fad. Money does not confer brains on people. I'll tell you that. Taste. Style. Class. Some people have it, but a lot of people don't. You get white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness. You're walking around half naked. If not naked, that isn't appropriate. Unlike what some people think. So that your nakedness will not be revealed. And Isav, see, that's that background in the Laodicean. Isav, some kind of a compound they put together of natural products. I don't know what it was, but they had it to anoint your eyes so that you may see, reversing blindness or near blindness. Now, the answer is get back to their beginnings, their roots, where they got started spiritually, and get back to teaching the whole counsel of God, and start dropping these worldly attitudes, these cosmic attitudes. Because I am prosperous, God is for me, does not follow, obviously. There's tons of prosperous people on the earth, and they're not even remotely connected to God. They may go to church because it looks good and it's the tradition and it's where you can do business and where you can dress up and be seen. Because it's a cultural thing. My family was always Episcopalian, so we're going to go to the Episcopalian church. No, I just love the holiday season. You know, and that stuff gags us. Hopefully. That stuff is so... Oh, really? It just doesn't do anything for me. And it isn't because I'm legalistic. You know I'm not. It's just, what? And now all these Christians, well, a bunch of them, they're going to go do the Halloween gig. Halloween. Yeah. Decorate their houses with all this junk. The dark side. Oh, yeah, let's do that. Witches and goblins and spooks and whatevers. And get the kiddies out there to get some candy. Under a vicious system of, if you don't give me a treat, you'll have a trick played on you. That teaches real high morals, doesn't it? Now, most of them don't do a trick. They just say it. So they can get their candy high. We're to be separate from the world and those kind of things. We're not of it. But some of you will go ahead anyway, spite of what I say. So I'm clean on it, really. I am. I'm really. I taught it. I taught the issues. If you don't want to abide by it, because you want to make Johnny or Susie happy, because you want to go to the mall and sit on the lap of an old man. Ah, who makes this stuff up? Only in Babylon. You know, you ought to think more of your kids than that. That's why the Israelites, they taught their children when they were right. They taught them. See what all these pagans are doing? They're worshiping rocks. They're falling down before the sun. Or whatever they're doing. And then they do all these other abominations that are hardly, but they're all laid out in the Old Testament. All kinds of crazy sex, all of that. This is what the pagans do for their gods. They even in the extreme offer up human sacrifice. They sacrifice their own children in a fire. What? Certainly, nobody is doing that today. Certainly, that is passé. Nobody on the earth today is involved in human sacrifice anywhere. You might be surprised. And it isn't in a backward country either. The Luciferians come from high-class people. Oh, you just think that... No, 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 no. They're involved in it. Hollywood's up by their ears and stuff. How do you think you get to be a big star in Hollywood these days? You don't want to know, do you? And I can't repeat it from the pulpit. Your initiation. That's the whole thing. Fall down and worship me, and I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. You want a satanic Luciferian initiation to get ahead in life? To suddenly be the one singer that gets to go shooting to the top? Versus this other girl that's equally qualified, if not more so. But she won't do that. This is what goes on. It's very dark. But we expect it in the last days. We expect this maniac stuff going on. Child trafficking all over the place. Not just some isolated creep that hangs out at a public park. It's rampant. Trafficking in human beings is rampant on the earth. And it's being covered up and not dealt with. How many missing children? They don't even report it anymore. It's not just a few. It's awful. The Bible said in the last days there will be kidnappers. Well, kidnappers, there's always been kidnappers. Some clown would kidnap some rich guy and hold him for ransom so the morons can get $1 million or something. No, we're talking massive, massive. Transporting humans all around. These scandals have been covered up and covered up because people in very high places with big names have been engaged in this stuff. That's why, one, I have no desire to be around these people. Not that I can, if I could. I have no desire to be around them. Their God is money. Their God is power. Their God is lying. They don't care. Many of them are, how do I identify a psychopath? What are the characteristics of a psychopath? The psychopath invites the young girl out for dinner, but he forgot his wallet. Poor guy. So she pays for it. He's a psychopath. They give a whole big list of the kind of techniques and things they pull on people. Or what is known in the Bible as a serial liar. A liar out from the womb. That's their grid. They like lying. Not people that just do it under pressure from time to time. But I mean, they enjoy it. That's another characteristic of a psychopath. They basically have destroyed their conscience. It's defunct. Seared as with a branding iron. You remember that out of Timothy? You say, how can they do this? They have seared their conscience. It doesn't work anymore. There are people who love to kill. For the hell of it. They do. They have bloodlust. They make perfect hitmen in the mafia and whatever. Because they like to set up and kill people. This is our world. It's really going and has gone rapidly down. I so wish we were out of here by now, but we're not. So I gotta be patient. I got to hold tight and hold tight to the cling to the truth and suffer what I've got to suffer, because any way you slice it, I don't have much time left as a person. I just don't. I got to do what I got to do. And I thank you for those of you who support the truth. Even those in the past that supported and aren't here. I thank them for their contribution. But I don't want you to be you remember so and so. Yeah, well, I do, unfortunately. And I suspect that they got a lot of SG3 when they were here, but they bailed. All right. Well, you can't judge. I can too. I can judge what's right and wrong. I was given Bible doctrine. And you can too. Those whom I love, I reprove. Do you think someone loves you? Well, this person said harsh things to me. The question is, was it true? Not was it harsh, was it true? First of all, what they were saying, were they accurate? When you were reproved, we all get reproved. We all hear something that hits us upside the head. It may not be big. It may be minor. It may hear in Bible class. I got to think better about that. Do better in that area. I mean, we all get it. I get it up here. And discipline. That's divine discipline. You don't discipline a child, then you really don't love the child. You don't make corrections, inject things into their life properly, correct measure according to the deed, according to the situation, because, of course, you prayed about it, and you want to discipline them in a fair, but in strong enough to deal with the issue where they've stepped out of line. That's one of the problems that some parents had here with their kids. They never told them no. They gave them everything they wanted. They never stood up to it. And as they became adults, it got, there we go. You observe it. They didn't do them a favor. I'm going to give you everything I didn't have. And I had a real strict father. Maybe he was over strict. So I'm not going to be that way. So you go running off to the other extreme. And you don't do them a favor. They need you to stand up to their STAs. They do. Just like we need God to stand up to ours. And He provides divine discipline. When you suffer, ask yourself one of two questions. Is this divine discipline or is it just a undeserved CHP common that happens to people apart from sin? Ask yourself. Because how are you going to make corrections if you don't connect the crime with the punishment? You've got to be able to do that. That's where objectivity comes in. If you can't be objective about yourself first and foremost and judge and know your heart and where you're at, how can you correctly look at others? That's what doctrine teaches us to do. Not operation cover-up. Yes, we all have trends. Yeah, okay. Some people's trends are deceitful. They're constantly deceiving people. They're putting on an act. Oh, I love you. Oh, how are you? And some people are genuine and some are not. I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous. Get back your zeal for the truth. You lost your zeal. That's the temperature thing that raises that lukewarm up and get things hot again. You've got a misconception of yourself because you've got fat and lazy and you sat here all these years and you were once a church. You need to reflect back and now you're lackadaisical. You're going through the motions. You like the prosperity of the town of Laodicea. The economy's good. What's the stock market doing? All this stuff. God doesn't look at that. He doesn't look at it at all. These people are fools. They're spending. You see it. Some of you are actually worked in areas dealing with this. You see how they're worried and they want to expand. They want more, and they may be 80 years old and they want more. No thought of God. No thought of the truth. It's crazy. It's like a drug addict. That's nuts. So, and it's really today is heightened because all I got to do is see these people that are living, life is good, living the high life. They can shop anywhere they want. Drive fancy cars, travel, all that stuff. I see them all over. And I say to myself, the party's almost over. The party's coming to an end. And it isn't just for you. This whole thing's going to be thrown on its head. We're on this ticking deal. What you need to do, I don't care if you're brand new to Maranatha Church, you just keep coming to church, rebounding, praying, get doctrine. You're going to have some flack from some people. Perhaps, don't let it bother you. Just hang in there. You don't have much time to get this thing accomplished. All right, let's break and we'll do the Lord's table.